So now, without any further ado, I would like to introduce the next president of the United States, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
That was great. Thank you so much. Wow. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all very much. I am thrilled to be back in Clinton. I love saying that, back in Clinton. And earlier today, I learned that Clinton actually is named for DeWitt Clinton, one of the first governors of New York, and a man who served a really long time, and among his many accomplishments was the Erie Canal, which opened up the West for development. I still don't have the whole story about how DeWitt Clinton came to give his name to this really lovely town in Iowa. So afterwards, somebody please tell me, because I'm really interested in that. I want to thank Elizabeth for introducing me and telling you a little bit of her story, because I want to start this evening by saying a few things and then throwing it open to talk about whatever might be on any of your minds. I want to thank Dan Boyd, the principal here at the Clinton Middle School, and all of the Clinton Middle School staff, and in fact, the students. I know there are some students here as well. I want to thank Jean Pardee, the chair of the Clinton County Democrats, and Mary Wolf, State Representative Mary Wolf from here in Clinton. James Schroeder, the mayor of Lost Nation. Thank you for being here. Dave Kunzweiler, the chair of the Jackson County Democrats. Thank you very much. And Art Ollie, a former state representative as well. So I've been really looking forward to this evening, because what you just heard Elizabeth tell you about coming home to take care of her mother is a story, a variation on a story that I've heard across Iowa and indeed across America. I've been traveling to a lot of places with the whole point of actually listening to what people are experiencing. In order to give me a better sense of how I can be a president, not only for the big issues that make the headlines, and we'll talk about those, ISIS, climate change, cybersecurity, you name them, but also all of the problems that keep families up at night. I really do want to be a president who is there for you and helps to figure out ways to help you, help yourself, help your families, help your communities. It may be because I'm from the Midwest. I was born in Chicago. I was raised in a suburb. I feel a strong sense of gratitude for my parents, who instilled in me a real belief in hard work and personal responsibility. But the world has gotten much more complicated. And we now have to take a step back and say, how do we help empower people today so that they can make the same good choices for their lives? You know, millions of families are struggling to provide care for loved ones. I know sometimes it's children who are born with a disability or maybe diagnosed with autism. Sometimes it's Alzheimer's, a parent, a spouse, a grandparent. Other kinds of disabilities, illnesses, and conditions. You know, my mother lived with us toward the end of her life, and having her there was just an amazing blessing for me. It was such a joy to have her in my home, coming home for dinner or home later that evening from the Senate or from the State Department. It was just great to be able to sit down and talk with her, and she was so interested in everything that was going on. But I also know it was a sense of responsibility. Thankfully, she was in pretty good health until she passed, but there were hospitalizations, there were doctor's appointments, the kinds of things that happen in every family that I know of. For a lot of caregivers, though, it's much, much more than that. It may mean, as Lizabeth said, really uprooting yourself and coming home to care for a parent and an aunt, an uncle, a sibling. For some, it means missing work. For others, it means cutting back on the hours at work, or cutting into personal days, family time, vacation days. The lost wages and the work that is sometimes given up are costing families, especially women, who make up the majority of both paid and unpaid caregivers, and who tend to live longer than men. And this is also costing our economy. There's about $470 billion every year in unpaid medical support and services and lost productivity. I started seeing this years ago, and as senator, I passed a law that gave family caregivers more support so they could get respite to take care of their own health, their own well-being as they cared for loved ones. And as president, I will make this a national priority. I believe we need to start investing in the caring economy. We need to recognize the value of the work that caregivers give to all of us, both those who are paid and the great number who are unpaid. So as president, I will propose a tax credit to help family members offset up to $6,000 in caregiving costs for their elderly family members. That will help family budgets stretch. It will help seniors maintain independence because I hear all the time about, as you heard from Elizabeth, it's really hard on Social Security, and even if you've got a small pension, to be able to take care of all of your personal needs. And it will provide the absolutely invaluable sense of dignity and independence. Now, all the time that people take out of paid work to care for a family member can end up putting a big dent into their retirement benefits. In fact, this is one of the biggest problems in Social Security, that whether a woman leaves the workforce to care for children or leaves the workforce to care for a spouse or a parent, it means that there's not then income coming in that can be used to help calculate Social Security benefits later. And I think we've got to recognize that for many women, this has a very serious impact on the amount of money they then draw from Social Security in order to take care of themselves. In fact, on Social Security today, the poorest recipients are single women and divorced women who either didn't work or worked part-time or worked but then stopped working because of caregiving responsibilities. So I want to expand Social Security by taking into account the often overlooked and undervalued work of family caregivers. And I want to give you the benefits you deserve. You should be able to earn credits toward Social Security. Providing care for a loved one should not mean sacrificing your own secure retirement. And there's a related challenge we need to take on. Many families count on home care workers for help. And I've met some of these extraordinary people who give so much of themselves in caring for others. They often find themselves among the lowest paid people in our country. Too many home care workers actually are living in poverty, struggling to support their own families while they care for others. I met a woman from Nevada not so long ago who's been providing care to seniors and people with disabilities for more than four decades. She still makes less than $10 an hour. I met a woman from Minnesota who recalled standing in the grocery store with her infant and toddler because she was a home health care worker. She really was having a hard time trying to figure out what to buy, toilet paper or laundry soap. So today I am launching a new home care workers initiative because I think we've got to do more to increase the pay, the training, and the standing of home health care workers. I want to work across federal agencies to create career ladders and apprenticeships to help ensure fair, fair pay and connect up care workers to the families who need them. It's going to require help on both sides because a lot of the families who get paid home care couldn't afford to pay much more than they're paying. So even though they would like to be able to see the income of the person helping them go up, it can't come just for them. We've got to figure out how we do this with a combination of tax credits and subsidies and support so that we can take care of people. And the other point I would make, we can avoid additional expenses because the alternative to home health care are nursing homes or other facilities that are much more expensive. So how do we try to sort of square this in a way that takes care of families, gives more support to unpaid family caregivers, gives more support to paid caregivers at a cost that families can afford, and save money because the alternative would be an additional burden on all of us? So the bottom line for me is caregiving takes a lot of love and a lot of challenging experiences that often test one's emotional and physical well-being. I remember I was in a town hall like this in Denver a few months, or no, in Dover, New Hampshire a few months ago, and I called on a woman and she said she had literally raced over to ask me what I was going to do about Alzheimer's because she was taking care of both her husband with Alzheimer's and her mother with Alzheimer's. And she'd gotten a neighbor to come in but couldn't be gone for long. And I cannot tell you how many stories I hear like that. The young man who's taking care of his mother, she's 84, she has Alzheimer's, he's a teacher. He can't quit his job because that's how he supports her, but he can't afford a caregiver, so he takes her to work with him. And these are the stories that really demonstrate to me the courage and the resilience of so many people in our country. And it's why I believe so strongly that we should be cutting taxes for hardworking families, not raising them, and giving more tax breaks to middle-class families, not rich individuals and corporations who already have their position set. So I'm looking at the tax code about how we go after the deductions and all of the benefits that are in there from, you know, taking away one of the worst benefits for hedge fund managers that enables them to pay a lower tax rate to going after the deductions that encourage corporations to move overseas. I've proposed tax credits to help middle-class families pay for college and afford out-of-pocket health care costs. Now I'm adding the caregiver's credit. I will be proposing more plans for additional tax relief and simplification, and I am laying out how I will pay for everything I propose. I want you to know that because I believe it's very important to be fiscally responsible and to tell you, okay, here's what I want to do and here's how I will pay for it. Because at the end of the day, we've got to deal with the economy in a way that creates more good-paying jobs, raises wages, and we have to make sure the federal government is making smart investments again. Under the Republicans, it's been really hard, but we're going to get back to a full-court press on making investments that will make us richer and safer and stronger. Now, there's a lot we can do together. And I know there are a number of you that are already involved in my campaign and working to help me to do well in the caucuses on February 1st. But I want you to consider joining us. We are really anxious to have as many people involved as possible. You can start right now. Just take out your phone and text JOIN. This is for younger people. Just take out your phone and text JOIN, J-O-I-N, to 47246 to get involved. You can also go to my website, HillaryClinton.com. You can sign up to help here in Iowa. We've got the most amazing team here who are just building an incredible organization. Every one of you can be a part of it. And I am so proud. I have to tell you this. I'm so proud that mine is the first campaign in history to have the majority of my contributions coming from women. So I really want to reach out to all of you. So let me end with that, my opening remarks, and really throw it open to all of you to raise any and all questions that you might have on your minds. And